You're listening to Shared Security, a podcast that explores the bonds shared between people and technology. Hosted by Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. Welcome to episode 324 of the Shared Security Podcast. And this week, we're going to talk about the massive AT&T data leak that affects 73 million customers. So that's a big one. So if you're a former or current AT&T customer, you'll probably want to pay attention to that one for sure. And then in our Where Much segment, Scott is going to speak to us about something called threadjacking and an attack targeting a journalist who had recently covered a story about a businessman with a controversial past.
Ooh, drama.
Yes.
Intrigue.
A little bit of drama. That's right. But first, I'd like to welcome today's one and only co-host.
That's all you need, really.
Mr. Scott Wright. Yeah, I know. That's all I need. It's this one co-host, which is Scott today.
Yeah, well, thanks, Scott. Tom. Thank you.
Yeah. No Kevin.
No Kevin. Well, what's there to say, you know?
You know, I mean, he's traveling today as his travel schedule has picked up quite a bit lately. So
somebody else is being enlightened by his presence, I'm sure.
That's right. That's right. We'll give him a pass today, but we've got some pretty cool stories to talk about.
Yeah.
So let's jump into the AT&T data leak. So AT&T has recently reset millions of customer account passcodes. So hopefully everyone is familiar with the passcode that all of the major telcos now have, which is that PIN code or a passcode as an additional layer of security to get into your account or whenever you're making changes to your phone or to your phone plan. This is that additional layer of security, which we've talked about on this podcast before, is very important that you set that up because it can help prevent SIM swapping. So say someone tries to social engineer their way into your phone company or the phone company's help desk and tries to swap the SIM card over to their phone, and thereby they get all of your text messages, two-factor authentication codes, all of that stuff, and take over your accounts.
And
so,
this is something that's a code that is usually set on the website in your online account, right? Not on your device itself, like not strictly for mobile devices.
That's correct. Yeah. It's a passcode that's set with AT&T or your phone provider specifically. Yes. And so now the encrypted version of that passcode is what was leaked. And a security researcher found that they could easily decrypt those passcodes, which is what happened. TechCrunch, who reported on this story, ended up getting contacted by this researcher, and then TechCrunch contacted AT&T, and they had found out that it was much more than just the passcode, the encrypted passcode that was leaked, but it was names, addresses, phone numbers, dates of birth, and even social security numbers,
yikes,
which is quite concerning. What's also interesting is that it was only 7.6 million current customers, but it was 65.4 million former customers that had this leaked.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Wow. That's very significant. I think there's some interesting implications in this story because it seems that AT&T didn't know about the leak before they were told by TechCrunch, which is never the way you want to find out about a vulnerability, right? But this led them to do the notifications to customers. So it makes you wonder, how did the breach actually occur? And it suggests that one or more databases were stolen, right? And that could have been done, I guess, by malware. If something had vulnerabilities in the system and made its way in, could have been through phishing or whatever. But it also begs the question of how long it was undetected, right? I mean, if they weren't aware of it, you know, when they had to be told by somebody outside. And it also suggests it could have been done also by maybe improperly secured or configured databases that are potentially accessible from the web.
Yeah, all of those are possibilities. And the other key point here is that this is data from 2019 or earlier. So this is not like recent data.
It could be a backup database even or something.
It could be a backup database. And we're not sure if, and I haven't read anything yet that says like where this data came from specifically, or if AT&T is ever going to release that information. But yeah, this is a big one, pretty concerning. Mm-hmm. And so if you are an AT&T customer or a former customer, I would definitely keep an eye on your email. Of course, be careful with that, because as we know, anytime there's a data breach, scammers come out to play, and you might get a phishing email because they have this information about you that's, hey, click here to reset your passcode. So my advice is actually to go to AT&T's site, like type it in and log in, and you'll most likely get prompted to change your passcode.
And if you're not, still change it.
And I honestly, I would still change it anyway, just to be safe. But that passcode in particular is something that a lot of people, they set and they kind of forget.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I guess that's why there's so much SIM swapping. It's not enforced, I guess, right?
Well, yeah. And, you know, there have been cases of people that have had these passcodes. They're like, well, how did my phone get compromised through a SIM swapping attack? And, you know, there's probably ways, depending on your phone company, that help desk and others can get social engineered.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, bypass that.
Rachel can tell us all about that, I'm sure.
Right, right. So, yeah, this is an interesting one. I kind of equate this to your ATM pin, right? Like, how often do you change that?
Yeah,
like never. Right.
Yeah, that's a good, really good point. And the pins are typically short, right? Four characters long.
Yeah, usually the minimum is four. Yeah. So what most people do is they either use like a birth date, or they use their ATM pin, something that's very easy to remember.
And easy to guess.
And easy to guess and actually easy to decrypt as well.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's something maybe we didn't think about before this article, because it goes into a little bit about how that decryption might have actually happened. So from a lessons learned point of view, I like to look at it and say, you know, from what I know of AT&T, I haven't followed them that closely, but I've heard of them stories. You know, they do a lot of thought leadership. I think they're pretty well respected from a security point of view in the past. And it just sort of demonstrates that any organization can suffer a breach, no matter how good your security program actually is. And just, you know, remember, don't be too confident. No matter how good your security is, always be threat hunting, I guess, making sure that you find those guys that are maybe lurking in your network. And always be assessing your vulnerabilities on an ongoing basis so you can stop those things. And make sure you've got a good incident response plan. Because, you know, as soon as you learn this thing, you're going to have to, there'll be a lot of stuff hitting the fan.
Yeah, yeah. And like we always say, right, is, you know, you should spend more time on how you respond to an attack, because it's always a matter of time, right? Eventually, an organization is going to get hacked in some way, shape, or form. But the most important thing is going to be how you respond to that attack.
The only thing for certain is there will be an incident.
Yes, there will. Yes, there will. Are you tired of compromising on security when it comes to managed file transfer? Look no further. Meet Kiteworks, the most secure MFT on the market today. Kiteworks MFT suite is not just secure, it's FedRAMP moderate authorized by the Department of Defense since 2017. This means it undergoes yearly audits and continuous monitoring by certified third-party assessors. But that's not all. Kiteworks provides a world-class secure file sharing and email platform. Easy for end users, manageable for administrators. With custom integrations, unified console management, Kiteworks sets the bar high where traditional MFT servers fall short. Step into the future of secure managed file transfer with Kiteworks. Visit kiteworks.com to get started today. That's kiteworks.com to get started today. All right, Scott. Well, let's jump to Kevin's favorite segment, which is Aware Much.
Yes, Tom, this is the time when we share news that help people understand the risks that involve threats to exploiting human vulnerabilities, for example. And this is a valuable segment brought to you by ClickArmor, which is the most engaging and interactive security training platform designed to help employees build their skills and confidence through engaging exercises and simulations. So in this segment, we're focusing on thread hijacking, which is a type of phishing attack that can be very convincing. And in this particular story, a journalist from a publication called Lancaster Online received an email from somebody who was apparently a subject of one of his previous stories. And the subject's name was Adam Kadan. But was it really? Is the question. The email was compelling because Mr. Kadan apparently had a controversial past. That's why he was a subject of a story. And that you can imagine any correspondence with him would potentially be very interesting to a journalist who had written to him about him in the past, for example. But the message was also compelling because it had a thread containing previous communications that were likely to have been legitimate correspondence between Mr. Kadan and other people he was speaking with. So the danger here, of course, is that there were malicious attachments in the email thread. And this is a potentially really insidious type of attack that employees at all levels should really be educated on. And there's nothing you can really do to prevent the attacks from coming at you. And they look very legitimate. And I would suggest, I don't know how you feel, Tom, but they probably a lot of them pass the security filters because they're so legitimate looking.
Yeah, these are fascinating. So this is essentially you'll receive an email with a conversation thread, and it may be between like two people, and it really preys on your curiosity of, wait a minute, why am I in the middle of this conversation? In fact, one of the variations of this attack is where you're copied on an email conversation.
Yes.
And they entice you to read the conversation and kind of get sucked into
snoop on it.
Where, where you're going to click on a link, or you're going to open up an attachment, or you're going to reply and either jump into the conversation or they're eliciting something else out of you. So this was a fascinating
And I just want to sort of maybe help people understand how to unpack these things, because the first clue should be that what looks like a legitimate email thread is in some way unexpected or surprising in its subject or content. Should set off a couple of alarm bells, and maybe not, you know, urgent, but there's likely to be something in the body of the message that seems unusual. And the objective here, obviously, is the attackers are trying to exploit your trust in the people that you already know and you're already maybe in communication with, and then sending you something relevant, but it's likely to somehow be unexpected, you know, which should be the trigger, I think. And it's important to keep your team up to date on the latest types of phishing and social engineering attacks, not just doing live phishing simulations, because in fact, this one would be very hard to do with a live simulation because it contains very relevant information that existed in a thread that was relevant to the individual. And that's hard to do. Maybe AI will be able to do it eventually for each individual employee that you want to test. But this leads us to ClickArmor, where we do different kinds of phishing simulations, and we can simulate this kind of message in a virtual inbox simulator. It's a way of engaging employees to learn with feedback that builds their proficiency and their confidence. So visit clickarmor.ca and learn how you can start improving your organization's human risk management capabilities with innovative training from ClickArmor. And I also want to thank Tom for joining us on our live cybersecurity awareness forum that we held yesterday. And we have them every 2 weeks on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time right now. But thanks so much, Tom. Really appreciated you joining us. It was a session on red teaming, and who better?
Thank you, Scott. Yeah, I had a great time. We'll link that in the show notes. Hopefully that's going to be posted here to, I know you post them to YouTube, right?
Yeah, we have YouTube. We also have a forum now called members.cybersecurityawarenessforum.com. We post all the videos there, and there's discussions as well. So people can join in and, you know, learn and share as well.
Yeah, I got to tell a couple stories of back in my red teaming days of all the bad things.
Yeah, that's a great hook.
Some red team engagements.
Great hook to get people to come and join the community so you can hear Tom's stories. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there may or may not have been police involved and maybe guns, but yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Amazing.
Good times.
So that's it for this segment of Aware Much.
Thank you, Scott. This story just reminds me of just how the traditional ways of identifying phishing emails don't always apply anymore. I mean, of course, we still have those things, but it's just so important to stay up to date on these new techniques that are happening out there. It's just crazy.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll make this episode short and sweet. This episode is actually going to be released on Monday, which is the day of the solar eclipse.
The eclipse, that's right.
So are you doing anything special for the eclipse? Because I think you're also in the
We're very close.
We're line, right?
Where I live, we're like 98.5% you know, coverage.
Yeah.
But I'm actually taking our entire team into the totality zone.
Okay. Yeah. I'm actually in the totality zone.
Awesome.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So cool. We're going to do something really special for that. My city is actually, it's pretty exciting. Uh-huh. So
yeah,
this is literally a once in a lifetime thing. So those of you that are going to have a good view of the solar eclipse, make sure today
get your glasses.
You do that. Yes. Get your glasses, take the precautions, but you want to do that because I think the next total solar eclipse, I think, is in like 2099 or something crazy.
In our area. So, yeah, probably.
Yeah, yeah. We'll all be dead, but yeah.
Yeah. And just a public service announcement on that. So I was watching a YouTube video. I can't remember who it was. Actually, it was from Smarter Every Day. You probably know the guy, Destin, right? Does lots of cool science ones. And he was interviewing a guy who is a specialist on solar eclipses. So you can find it was very recent, talking about this upcoming eclipse. And there's an app that the guy published that really provides cool information, like timing of the first and second and third and fourth events and all that stuff. But one thing he said, like I remember, is the best eclipse glasses are actually ISO certified. And,
really?
And you should not use welder's masks because they're not certified. They don't block some of the...
Okay. Interesting. So, well, there you have it, folks.
There you have it.
Get your ISO certified glasses.
That's right. Might be late now, but yeah.
Probably late, but yeah. Just don't look at the sun. Good luck. All right. Scott, thank you for joining me this week. And for everyone else, we will speak to you again. But in the meantime, stay safe, stay secure, and stay private.
Thanks for watching or listening to this episode. Please subscribe wherever you like to listen to podcasts and visit us at sharedsecurity.net or on X at SharedSec. If you'd like to help support the podcast and get early access to new episodes with no ads, plus many more exclusive benefits, become an official supporter of the podcast for only $5 a month. Visit sharedsecurity.net/supporter for more details.